We welcome you to worship this morning at College Park. It's so good to see you this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down so we know that you are here, and send it down so everybody gets a chance to fill that out. And we do ask, once it gets to the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we do ask the first person, when it comes back to you, please help us out and tear out the pages that were used this morning, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for doing that. A few announcements we'll make. Some are listed there in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Number one, we are having children's time today. We're inviting all the kids to come down for just a few moments with me right after the first hymn. Also, we have a very special event tonight. We're inviting everyone to come to. Our youth area has finished the renovation, which is just an incredible space. And we want to celebrate with you and what God has done. You think about all that's happened at College Park over the last several years, just in construction. The renovation of the education building, the renovation of Smith Hall, the construction of the gym, and the final piece of that puzzle was the youth renovation. And we're excited about that. We want you to come tonight at 6 o'clock. We know that it's very 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. There's lots of things to be doing, including taking naps or getting ready for the week. But we're going to worship for about 25 minutes or so, and then we have food. So come for the food and you'll be able to see the space, and our youth will be leading us in worship. So that's going to start at 6. Food will start about 6:30. We are going to have a youth parent meeting at 7 once all that stuff is done. But we hope that you come as you're able and be a part of the youth area celebration and dedication. Thank you for that.
Two announcements. The first is there will be no channels tonight. We will have bells, but there will be no channels rehearsal tonight. The second one is book club. We are going to postpone tomorrow night and push back a week. So instead of meeting tomorrow night, we will meet a week from tomorrow to discuss this month's book. And then the one that's coming up is short enough, we won't be bothered by the short interim in between. Anyway, I appreciate it.
Okay. Any other announcements? We good? Choir, y'all got any? We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We appreciate you helping us out a few moments ago with the pew pad. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now that would like to give something to you. Thank you for that information that you gave to us, but we'd like to give this packet of information to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information inside this folder. You'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to the church today. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. Had the opportunity last week to spend time with our juniors and seniors up in the mountains of Tennessee in the Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area, It was exciting for me to challenge them and for to be challenged about what does it mean to be a leader? What does it mean to be one setting an example? And as we look to Christ's example last weekend, I'm reminded so often of Philippians chapter 2 and that Jesus became a servant so that he could serve humanity. And I wonder, do we think of ourselves in that same way? Are we serving God? Do we consider all that he has done for us and say, God, whatever you ask of me, I will serve? This is about doing the hard things, the difficult things. That's what being a believer in Christ is, serving and putting God first. That's why we're here today. Let's prepare for worship.
Lord, we come singing the words, I will bless the Lord and give him glory. As we enter this time of worship, we ask that you would be with us in such a way, Lord, that in our listening, Lord, we are giving you glory. That in our singing, we are bringing you glory. That in our attentive presence, Lord, we are bringing you glory. Help us to be open to the words that you would hear us, have us hear this morning. Lord, help us to have our hearts fixed in your direction. Lord, help us leave here this morning knowing that we serve a great and glorious and sovereign, unimaginable, unattainable, but totally relatable God. In Jesus' name, amen.
The kids, come on down. Come on, Whit. All right, everybody, crisscross applesauce, looking this way. All right. There, we'll wait for you, Jared. Good to see everybody today. Shane, here he comes. Shane was worried about you, Jared. I've got a question. I want you to, in your mind, everybody in your mind, are you thinking in your mind? Sometimes it helps for you to point at your mind. Okay, I want you to, in your mind, picture all of your favorite toys. Okay, and you're getting to play with all of them. Like your trains and your cars and your dollhouses. And, all right, are you see them in your mind? You're picturing them? Okay, and they're everywhere in the living room. Or in the playroom. They're everywhere.
I know what you mean.
Yo, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Well, it was a mess yesterday. So what happens if somebody comes in and said, this is a mess? These things just preach themselves. What happens if you don't clean up the toys? Yes, your mom's going to get mad. What else? Or are they going to throw toys? Yeah. What happens if mommy or daddy says, you better get these toys cleaned up or you are going to time out? I don't know about y'all. Did y'all have time out growing up? Did y'all have time out growing up? Well, I didn't have time out growing up. It was a completely different thing when I was growing up. But now it's called time out. And what is that? What is time out? You have to sit where? in your room, or you have to sit in a special place away from your toys or the things that you were playing with until you're ready to do what your mommy or daddy say, right? Isn't that what timeout is? Well, Pastor Raymond, he's going to talk about that this morning. Well, that's exactly what it is at my house. That's what happens. And that's Pastor Raymond is going to talk about a very special timeout. And I want you to listen very clearly to what he's talking about. It's a really important timeout. We have to listen. What keeps us from being in timeout?
Listening.
And doing what mommies and daddies say. Okay? That's what we're learning. Listening and doing what they say. All right? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much that you want to speak to us. Thank you that you want to talk to us. Thank you that you want to hang out with us and teach us how to live. And sometimes we need a break because we're not listening to you. Help us to stay focused with our moms and our dads and doing what they say, cleaning up our toys. Most importantly, listening for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seat now.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who strayed. Come sit at the table and come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. Too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Fall in his arms, come as you are. There's joy for the morning. Oh, sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. you are.
So Jeff and the kids have already preached the sermon. This could be a short could be a short sermon. Time out. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's go to the text. The Revised Common Lectionary text for today is Jonah chapter 3. It's a well-known story. We'll get to it in just a moment. But let's read the passage that they selected for us to focus in on today. And it begins in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." You say, what was the first? We'll get to that in just a minute. "The second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city, and he proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Verse 10, "And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened." He had compassion. We've already covered the timeout thing. I don't know if you were ever in timeout. Some, it took longer to learn. It could take days in timeout. I don't know. Perhaps that gives us a little bit better insight into the person, the personality of Jonah. You remember the song, Jonah, Jonah, Jojo, Jo? You remember that? Y'all are old enough to do it. Don't look at me that way. You know that song. Jonah. Jonah. Jonah got a time out that no child would envy. It was in the nasty, smelly baby, belly, the nasty, smelly belly. In a fish. It was in a fish. A nasty, smelly belly of a big fish for 3 days. 3 days. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine when he got released from that? When he got released from that, he got another chance to do what God had ordered him to do the beginning, which he did, albeit rather grudgingly. But picture this. Have you ever seen what stomach acid does to things? Yeah, can I get a witness? Yeah. It turns your skin about that color. It eats holes in things. So you've got Jonah, who is belched up onto the shore after 3 days in the belly of a big fish. I'm in trouble with that this morning. He got belched up. His skin, no doubt, is white as can be. His hair is probably dissolved at this point. He's got things hanging on him, unidentifiable parts of stuff hanging on him, and he walks up to someone on the beach and says, "Repent." Yeah, sign me up. I'll repent, you know. But if you go back and look at the whole context of this book, this little snippet that we read this morning, you know, the Revised Common Lectionary really kind of fails us here because we need the whole story. You know, there's only 48 verses. Why didn't we get the whole thing? But begin with, let's back up. Let's put it in context. If you go back to verse 1 of Jonah 1, go all the way back to the very beginning. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" That sets the stage. God says, "Go at once." He didn't say, "Jonah, look, when you get around to it, I got a little something for you." He didn't say that. He said, "Go at once." He said, "Right now, right away, immediately." And Jonah went right away in the other direction as hard as he could go. He said, "I want no part of it. I want absolutely no part of it." And then the adventure begins. You know the story. You got this supernatural storm at sea, an unbelievable ferocity of this storm. You've got Jonah being pitched overboard by pagan sailors who were more willing to do the will of Jonah's God than Jonah was willing to do the will of his God. You have him being swallowed up by this big fish, but not consumed. Just stuck there in the belly of the fish thinking, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Yeah. And after being spit out on dry land and given a second chance, Jonah finally does what God requires of him, and that's in today's text. Interesting thing is the Ninevites respond by repenting in this very grandiose fashion. And then you have God relenting from the punishment that had been threatened if they didn't repent. Now, if this were a modern day movie, this would be a great ending. You know, great place. God, through the prophet, says your wicked ways will bring destruction upon you all. And the people get it. They understand. They make amends. They repent. God withholds the disaster from them. You've got this great moral lesson with a bit of good news. God hates when you sin, but he will forgive you when you confess to him, when you repent. What better ending could there be? Let the music play, roll credits. What a gorgeous ending. Everybody leaves the theater crying. It's very touching. But that's not where it ends. Apparently, Jonah needed a little bit more. And perhaps we do too. Just in case, we'll recap what came next in Jonah's little adventure. He became really annoyed. He became angry. Very angry, annoyed with God for forgiving such a degenerate community. I'm sure he felt justified in saying that in his own mind. Probably went something like this. I knew it, God. I just knew it. I knew it. I knew your forgiving nature. That's exactly why I didn't want to come here to begin with. These people, even in repentance, don't deserve your forgiveness. They should be wiped off the face of the earth. So I'm just going to sit down here and pout and hope to die. So there. That may not be exactly what he said, but I suspect it was something like that. You know, and at this point, God, rather than doing to Jonah what Jonah had hoped would happen to Nineveh, shows grace and provides shade for Jonah. But then he teaches a lesson because he allows that comforting vine, the shade, to die. And then God engages Jonah in a conversation about what real grace looks like. The story ends rather abruptly, though. We don't have any indication that Jonah has really completely come away and come around to God's way of thinking, which may not satisfy the Hollywood criteria. We need things neatly wrapped up. But it may give us an opportunity to really consider how the story might flow if we put ourselves into the story as one of the characters. We might learn something about ourselves. Even more importantly, we may be able to experience God in a deeper, more meaningful way. So if you're going to put yourself in the story, who do you want to be? Jonah? That's kind of the natural response. We think, well, if you put that story in the Bible, we're probably supposed to identify with Jonah. But for just a minute, we'll get to that. But just for a minute, let's identify with the pagans. How about that? Let's do that. How about those fishermen? How about the Ninevites? Let's connect with them for just a moment. Perhaps even without ill intent, these pagans had spent their entire lives worshiping other gods, putting ourselves in their place, maybe living in ways that bring harm rather than healing. And then we hear that the God of Israel is not restrictive. But he is a God that cares about a relationship with us as well. How might we react to that? When we hear that news, how might we react? Might we rejoice in a God who loves no ethnic boundaries, who reaches out to everyone, even on the margins? And if so, would we turn our hearts toward that God, repent of our past, and live amended lives, repentant lives? Perhaps you personally know the answer to this. Maybe this is your story. Maybe you lived outside the fold and have been drawn by the Spirit's tether into following God. the God who loves you, forgives you, transforms your heart and your life. Maybe that is your life story. What about the rest of us? Well, maybe we're a little bit more like Jonah. Raised in the faith, raised in church, around people who look and act and talk just like us, and believe that God can only love people just like us. What if we insist that we only take the message of God's love to those that we deem worthy of it? What if we long for God not to forgive, but to punish all those who've hurt us, or maybe those who think differently than we do, whose lives are such an anathema to us that we cringe in their very company? What if we declared, God welcomes all, but when you get here, you need to become just like us, or at least much more like us than you are right now? You see, the ugliest part of prejudice is that it flies in the very face of the essence of why Christ died for us. That's the part that is so ugly to God. And I'm not just talking about race here, by the way. Who are our Ninevites? Who are they? Maybe people of different ethnicity or language. Maybe for us, we feel so strongly it's persons of different politics. How about alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, politicians, corporate CEOs who we're really just jealous of? Do we really want God to change their hearts, or would we rather be vindicated in our own self-righteousness? It's appropriate and highly suggested that we search our own hearts on these matters, that we ask for forgiveness. And it probably would be better if we didn't have to end up in the belly of a big fish to do so. Although, because God loves us, because he wants us to be more Christ-like, don't push him too far, or you may end up in the belly of a big fish. Figuratively, maybe even literally. But that'd be quite the repeat performance. But the good news is that whether we are like the pagans in this story or like Jonah in this story, God's love and mercy are the same. God sent Jesus Christ not for some, but for all. Forgiveness, reconciliation, transformation. Not just for those that we think deserve it, but also for those who really don't think they might deserve that kind of grace. Maybe for those who think they could never earn it. The good news is that God gives us all second chances if we'll receive it. And when we say, as Jonah did, heck no, we won't go, when we refuse to follow God, well, God follows us. He follows us all the way to Hades and back, not to punish, but to save us from ourselves and the evil one, for the sake of bringing us into his community, into his fold. Because you see, ultimately, God invites all to the heavenly banquet. Now, some will refuse. That's the reality. But he invites all to the heavenly banquet. And far from being the bouncers and the gatekeepers, we are privileged to carry the invitations. We get to extend the invitations. That's why we're here. So my challenge is, let us do that. Let us extend those invitations with forgiveness, with love, with joy, and gladness. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we ask for your help because we know that we are weak vessels. We are vessels that are most of the time pretty selfish. And so when people hurt us, we want to hurt them back. When people harm us or our family or something along that line, we want to strike back. Father, help us to understand what it means to be your children and to be the messengers, to be those who are handing out the invitations to the heavenly banquet that you've invited all of us to. God, we pray that we would learn from the story of Jonah. We pray that in the way that we deal with people, we would show your love, your grace, and your mercy. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
For you to be seated. I've got a couple of things I want to share before I pray the prayer of thanksgiving, something God's laid on my heart this week as I was thinking about this. I shared this after with the table after the deacon ordination a couple of weeks ago, and saw Jeremy Cobble and Michael Groover appear to be ordained. And I remember back a few years before the recreation service was what it is now, before it ever came about. And remember this meeting as we talked about beginning such a service. And I remember Michael Groover's testimony the morning of the deacon ordination service, and him saying that it was through the service there and through a friend of the church, the Smiths, Brandy and Jason Smith, inviting them to come, and then to see him come through and become a leader in this church, and now to be a deacon and be ordained, was just the neatest experience. And to remember Jeremy and all of the people in the band and all the things that go along with that service to see how that is bringing others to who are unchurched. In a lot of ways, he said he was never exposed to church growing up, and to see him now a deacon and them being ordained at the same time was really a neat experience. And I just wanted to share that. And I was thinking, we never know the seeds that are sown. And I'm thinking currently what's going on that many of you may or may not know that's going on. We have some kids that are playing basketball through our Hoops for Him program. And, you know, they're required to come to church at least once a week, if not three times a week, you know, to be able to play. And I'm thinking, you know, those kids are coming to youth group, and they're coming on Sunday mornings at times. And you know, that's something that's going on. And I was just thinking of the seeds that are being sown that we may not know how that's going to grow. And I just want to... The basketball game for the middle school let out yesterday, and there was one kid sitting over there just kind of looking at his phone, and everybody was leaving. And I said, "You have a ride?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Do you want a ride?" He said, "Yes, sir." So as we drove, I heard about this kid that a few weeks ago that he got there at halftime. And come to find out that he lives over close to the Coliseum. They play over at St. John's on Silas Creek. And this kid began to walk about 6:30 or 7 in the morning to come to the game. He didn't have a ride that day. And I was thinking, you know, he had that kind of passion to want to be there and be a part of this team. And it's just a cool thing. And through some of this, we don't know what is happening. And, you know, I know we have people that are taking these kids home after practices and picking them up at times and bringing them to church, and we don't know what those seeds are going to do. And I just wanted to encourage us all to remember that, to let our light shine and to be Christ to those that come into our church, and these ministries that are going on. Hopefully God will, if it brings one or two or, you know, several to the Lord, it's worth it. So let's pray. Our God, we're thankful for this church. We're thankful for all the blessings that you have given us. And we pray that as you take these tithes and offerings and the offerings of our time, the coaches, David Hodge and David Matthews on the team that my son plays on, and then the other coaches that are giving of their time on these particular teams, and all the other ministries that are going on, people giving their time to serve you. We pray that you'll just take these and use them to bring others to you. And we're thankful for all that you've given us, and help us to be Christ to those in front of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
ask you to remain standing, but we want to give you a chance to respond to what you've witnessed in worship today or experienced in worship. I'll be honest with you, it's been a very stressful week. We lost a beloved sister, Joyce Baxley, and that takes an emotional toll on everyone that was down at the beach with her, as well as those that were here praying. A sense of loss. You've been through it with a family member, I know, and Joyce was family. So that was very stressful. We also had some issues in regard to ministry. You know, ministry's messy, gang. As long as you're comfortable, the devil will leave you alone because he's got you right where he wants you. As long as you're at ease in Zion, the devil will leave you alone. But that's a dangerous place to be. And we as a church, I know that we engage in missions and ministry every day. And sometimes there's not clear-cut lines. Sometimes we feel our way through it and think our way through it and work our way through it. And as Joseph has said, you know, we have multiple ministries that are going on all the time. We have a lot of people that are engaged in those ministries. We always need more to help us to engage in those ministries and to be the hands and feet of Christ, to be Christ to those who are in front of them. God has placed before us a community to serve. When we pray that God would send the community to us, I don't think we have the privilege of saying, oh no, I didn't want that community, I wanted another community. And that's challenging for us. It's very challenging. I understand that. But with your help, with your prayer, with your support of those who are out there on the edge, on the margins, really trying to minister, I pray that in your own heart, God would move you more in that direction. Each of us. You know, because there are people that aren't here this morning for good reason. Whatever in their mind they can conceive that reason may be. But they need this community here at College Park. They need you. Good people that you are, to wrap your arms around them and love and encourage them. Whoever they may be, whatever walk of life they may be, however you may encounter them this week. There are people that need you. And with God's help and with God's power, He is sending us to them. Not trying to convince them to come here, although the Holy Spirit does work. He's sending us out to them to love them right where they are. That's a challenge. We're going to sing in just a moment, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy." And if there ever was a true statement in a hymnal, that's it. That's about as scriptural as you can get. And I pray that as you sing this hymn, that you would open your heart to Christ and allow Him to show you more clearly who He desires for you to be in relationship to the community we have to serve together. Not just talking about here in College Park, not here in this building, but the whole community. If you're not yet a believer, this I can't think of a better day to say, "Lord, I desire a relationship with You. I'll be glad to talk with You. Or call me this week. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere." And if you are here and you say, Raymond, I think you're kind of barking up my tree. I think maybe I am just a little bit too comfortable. And I'm opening myself up for God to use me in a bigger way. Settle that with Him before you walk out these doors. And you'll be amazed at what He does through you this week. Maybe you're here and you'd like to be a member of this community. It is a wonderful group of believers. This is a wonderful group of believers. For all of our challenges and all of our, you know, things that we still have yet to accomplish, this is a remarkable group of believers. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. So if you'd like to be a member of this congregation, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you. Whatever your decision is, spend a little time with God as we sing together now.
Oh,
In a moment, we'll have our benediction, and following that will be a response and then an opportunity for you to greet one another. I pray that you would truly extend encouragement to one another, because we're all called from this point forward into our mission field. And it takes us, it takes all of us together sometimes to accomplish what God desires for us. We need one another. We need His Spirit. Encourage one another after we pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. God, the very breath that we draw comes from you. The gift of life, every heartbeat. Father, don't let us take those for granted. Instead, let us give thanks. Let us give thanks and then extend your love and mercy to others who may be less thankful because they haven't experienced your love and your mercy yet. God, we pray that we would be your hands and feet, that we would be Christ to those who need to see you through our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.